get wet in there. He was drinking. Yeah, I don't suppose he did. Dr. Martin from New Orleans. They own quite a bit. He's a big doctor, you know, and he's dead now.
Yeah.
They own quite a bit of land and own some here to Grand Chinya. Well, he'd come down there on Easter holidays, you know, and he'd bring a lot of liquor, and they'd all have a big cattle deal. And that's where he had been with his brother.
Have a big what?
Big cattle deal. They'd brand cattle and work cattle, and they'd have a big time. And that's what he was at, you know. And I didn't think it was something nice to say at a man's wife's funeral. So he turns around to me, said, "Mabel, that's going to be your husband." And I said, "Well, I don't think that's so nice." And okay. So we went home. We went to his house, and we went. The next day we passed the cemetery, and there was my poor husband. Man, you know, LJ. By the his wife's grave, just crying, so pitiful. Yeah. Well, I didn't see him. Monday, that was Friday, Saturday. Sunday passed. Monday I come home. And I got to the end of the island, and I stopped at Mrs. Sostan, and she was raised with LJ and his wife, you know. And I sit out on the floor. I wasn't quite as heavy as I am now. And I sat out on the floor, and I began to tell her, you know, how pitiful it was. This lady had lost it, had this baby. In those days, you didn't talk about being pregnant and having babies and all that amongst the young people. You didn't do that in those days.
What'd you do?
Well, you kept it to yourself. You didn't talk about it. I mean, that wasn't, you ask your mother. I bet she didn't talk about it either with the young and the old and all mixed up in her days and her young days. But then, so I sit out in the kitchen and I begin to tell Miss Osteen, she's making coffee, you know, how sad it was. And this lady had had a baby and lost her baby. And then I begin to tell how pitiful he was with that little boy in his arms. You know, and he just crying and holding like that. Crying. She said, "Mabel, that's going to be your husband." I said, "Listen, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you saw how pitiful he was, you'll see." Wait. About 15 months after that, maybe 16 months after that, he comes. Well, I saw him the next Easter. That was like April here. And I saw him the next Easter after that. But he was just a man to me, you know, just say hello and that's all I saw him. That was Easter. By July, here he comes with one of my ex-boyfriends. I said, "What in the hell he's come here for?" He said, "Man, he's crazy about you." I said, "Oh, go on." Then I had no more ideas, no more mean, no more ideas than the man in the moon. And he said, "Well, maybe he's a good man, and I guarantee he's crazy about you." So we had a dance that night. And in those days, you'd go to the dance, and you'd dance. One dance with your girl, if you had a girlfriend, one dance with the girl, and then you'd dance with a friend. Then go back to your girlfriend and then somebody else, you know, that's the way it went. So I had a sort of a boyfriend, but I didn't love him. So me and one of my friends was talking.
You were just...
This guy, because I was my friends.
Yeah.
And me and another boy was talking, and he said, "Man, looks like they're having court tonight. You know, one would dance with me, the other would dance with me, one would dance." And this other boy, to tease me, he said, "Looks like we're having court here tonight." And I said, "Yeah, but the judge is kind of hard for the judge to decide the case." You know, just joking with him like that. So my husband told me after that, he said, when he got up, he was tall and slim. When he got up to come to ask me, in those days they'd distinguish who you was going with by the last dance, home sweet home. When they'd play that home sweet home, whoever you danced with, well, that was supposed to be your boyfriend. And he said when he got up to come and ask, I started off with somebody else so he didn't ask me. So the